someone who's just been told that they're a suspect for murder, you're not overly surprised.
Three cases involving good-natured people.
He was very vulnerable and naive, so she just took advantage.
Who put their trust in the wrong person.
I was too young. I was too young.
And fall prey to a born hunter.
No remorse, no emotions, no feelings, nothing.
Each of these cases shed light onto the dark mind of a predator and reveal the telltale signs that could save your life. As a former FBI profiler, I'm often asked, can you spot a killer? Is it a look? An attitude? A pattern of behavior? After 40 years' experience, I can say it's complicated. But there's one thing I know. There is a deadly type. In Kingsland, Texas, 2011, 20-year-old Joe Hernandez takes his first tentative steps into the world of romance.
He was very vulnerable and naive because he didn't have a girlfriend at school. He was interested in girls, but there was never any relationships. So Kathy was his first girlfriend.
There's only one problem. Kathy isn't a school student. She's a school mom, a 43-year-old mother of five.
My mom and Kathy went to school together, but I think Kathy was maybe a year above. It was a shock, but you want your sibling or any kind of family to be happy. So if he was happy, then obviously I'm happy.
The age difference was not a problem for Joe. What was a problem was Catherine's history, the way she lived, her MO. One thing about predators, they usually have an agenda. Catherine had a long-standing habit of dating men, getting pregnant, having the baby, and then going back on them for child support. She did it four times. This is how she supported herself. Joe found himself in a predator's trap.
My parents didn't approve of it, but I mean, they really couldn't do anything about it. It was his choice.
If I had a 20-year-old son who was dating a woman twice his age, I'd be beside myself. Factor in how she lived in squalor. She wouldn't work to support her kids. She would get pregnant so men would have to support her. It's how Catherine rolls. Over 11 years, she's had five children to four different men. She convinces Joe to exchange wedding rings and falsely claims that means they are married. Marriage inspires a sense of obligation. Even the perception of a marital relationship aids a predator in their bid for obedience and loyalty. A fake wedding enables Catherine to gradually take control of Joe's life.
When I would text him, I would get a text back saying, oh, he's at the store. I'll have him call back or text back, but it would be about a few days before I get an answer. And then she'll reply back saying, oh, I forgot to tell him. I was tired, sorry. Just excuses. She was controlling.
And Joe is her meal ticket. She got him working at a nursing home and working extra hours. He was supporting her.
I just remember the last text that I got from him, he didn't sound like he was happy. And I remember him asking me if my parents were mad at him or if they would let him go back home. I was like, they don't hate you. They just wanted him home, away from her.
I think Catherine was running out of ideas. Her years of predation on men and using her body like a succubus had run its course. Joe was walking out the door, and she couldn't let that happen.
If you have control over somebody, you're gonna react big. So she did react really big.
For 2 years, Catherine Preston has preyed on her young lover, Joe Hernandez. On August 26, 2014, her 16-year-old son, Griffin, comes home to find his mother has ended her latest relationship in murder.
What did your mother say to you when you got home? Did she tell you what happened?
Yeah, she told me, like, she hit him in the head, something.
Did she tell you what she hit him in the head with?
I think it was a rock.
She hit him in the head with a rock. I hate you. You're not gonna leave me. And for leaving me, I will kill you. Established predators are not without witnesses. Catherine's manipulative behavior towards men is so consistent and so brazen, she asks her own son to help her dispose of the body. Instead, he reveals the gritty details to the police.
Did she say anything to you about
disposal of the body or what she was gonna do?
She set him on fire to cremate him.
She tried pretty much covering it up by setting him on fire, and then she had called the fire department. She pretty much turned herself in.
Plano County 911, the address of your emergency.
I think I need some help.
Okay, well,
got a fire going.
You have a fire going?
Yeah.
And what kind of fire?
Well,
is it in your house or outside or?
House.
What kind of fire is it, ma'am? Ma'am? Hello?
I don't know how to answer that.
I was working and my mom had called. And she said, it's your brother. She killed him. And I was like, what? And I remember just having like an anxiety attack.
In 2016, Catherine Preston is convicted of murder and sentenced to 45 years in prison.
He thought that he was gonna come home, but he didn't.
Catherine had no means of support. It never occurred to her, apparently, to get a job. When Joe said he was leaving, I think she lost it. And that's why she killed him. Punishment and anger. Predators come in all types. For Cindy White, it was the kindest couple in the world. Or so she thought. Some people came into your life.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Who was it?
It was Charlie and Harold Roberson. I met them on my paper route. I used to stop by and play with the kids.
I first spoke with Sarah Cindy White in 2015 at the Indiana Women's Prison, where she has served the last 40 years. Cindy's an orphan, but for years before her father died, he sexually abused her. At 17, she takes a job as a nanny with the Robersons, hoping for a brighter future. How did you like taking care of the kids?
Oh, I loved those kids as if they were my own, for real.
Cindy White was the perfect victim. Cindy had a decade of abuse, physical and sexual, when the Robersons offered her a lifeline. But that lifeline comes with unexpected conditions. 45-year-old Charles Roberson starts taking a special interest in Cindy.
He would set up his projector and make me sit there and watch these porns with him.
What did you think of that?
It was sickening. I was embarrassed, number one. And number two, he was satisfying himself while we were watching, and he made me watch him.
Wow.
Yeah. And he would start telling me to take off clothes. And so I'm under the impression that Carol, the wife, knows nothing about this. So we're sitting there on the couch, and she comes home early from work. And she walks in, and she says, "What have I missed?"
And that, what?
Yeah.
So she was a willing participant, not a jealous wife.
Right.
And you were the victim.
I was an unwilling participant.
Predators look for the most vulnerable among us. 18-year-old Cindy White had no one looking out for her. And this couple takes full advantage. Charlie and his wife, Carol, were sexually abusing Cindy. People would come in.
Yeah, a couple of men. I didn't know who they were or anything like that, but they were there and they would, like, get off, especially when I was having sex with an animal.
Charlie made you have sex with an animal?
A dog.
I'm so sorry. In the grip of a predator, a victim has two choices, fight or flight. Cindy chose flight and developed an elaborate plan to escape the abusive situation. On New Year's Eve, 1975, Cindy set the plan in motion.
My grandmother had a house fire. Everybody got out okay. No one got hurt or anything. But the fire made the house unlivable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like that, a light bulb came onto my head. If I can start a fire to where it will smoke up the house and make it unlivable, you know?
It's a desperate and dangerous solution, but Cindy claims her only intention is to damage the home. But the fire takes hold.
It went up so fast. I ran to their bedroom and they were still awake and I said, "My God, the house is on fire. Come help me get the kids out." I try opening the window and it won't open. I tell Carol, she says, "Get on the top bunk, open that window and I'll hand you the kids, go." I got up there to go open the window. Next thing I remember is I'm laying on the ground. I'm totally confused. I don't know what's happening. I'm like, "Oh my God, this is a nightmare."
Cindy falls from the window and survives. The Robersons and their four children perished in the flames.
And I kept trying to get back in that house. I kept trying and trying and trying. Neighbors pulled me back. So eventually, they wouldn't let me go, but I stood there watching them burn.
what you thought and what you felt when you were told they're all dead?
I lost it. I truly, truly lost it. They came and gave me a shot.
Cindy is serving 6 consecutive life sentences, one for each member of the Roberson family. Did you kill the Roberson family?
Yes.
Was that your intention?
No. Not at all. No one was supposed to have died that night. No one. The fire got out of hand.
Predators like the Robersons don't go after just anyone. They look for the weak and isolated. Angelica Guevara was looking for a big payday. When Angelica chose Vonnie McGlynn, she stalked her like a gazelle. In a quiet suburb of Adelaide, Australia, in 2008, 83-year-old Vonnie McGlynn feels safe in the knowledge her neighbors are looking out for her.
We'd call across the street, and often I'd go over and talk to her, and we'd talk about the plants, in so much as how we're going to keep them alive during summer. And the neighbours, you know, people all knew each other in the street. So it was, in those days, safe and quiet.
But one neighbour has a more sinister interest in Vonnie.
We haven't heard from Vonnie, we just can't find her. Yeah. So obviously we're quite concerned about it.
34-year-old Angelica Guevara is a predator, a convicted fraudster on the hunt for an easy target. On December 3rd, 2009, Vonnie goes missing.
You seem to be the person that is perhaps closest to her, and you may have been the last person to see her as well.
Okay.
So we're hoping that you might be able to give us something that will help us find where she is, where she might be.
I have no clue. That's what I keep asking myself as well, where she could be.
Predators don't go after strong people because they can't control them. Their instinctual goal is to find someone they can use for ongoing victimization. In Angelica's case, she targeted an 83-year-old woman with a broken arm. That would be like finding a bird in your backyard with a broken wing. You have total control. For Angelica, it was perfect. As the days go by, the mystery of Vonnie's disappearance deepens. Teresa Malloy recalls a strange incident that happened to Vonnie shortly before she vanished.
I received a phone call from Vonnie, and she was very upset. And she said, something terrible has happened to me. I just want to talk to you about it. I've had this woman banging on my front door, and I opened the door and she said, I want to be your carer. I can come and live here and you can pay me. She went round to the back of my house, and she banged on all my doors and all my windows.
Vonnie's visitor is 34-year-old mother of 2, Angelica Guevara. She already has a record for petty fraud. And this time, Angelica is looking for a bigger payday. She sets her sights on Vonnie's house and everything in it.
I had a cold shiver going up my back as well, thinking how terrible. I didn't know then what was to happen very shortly thereafter.
Vonnie declined Angelica's aggressive offer. Just days later, Vonnie is reported missing. The last person to have seen her is Angelica.
Did she say when she was going away?
That's the funny thing, she didn't.
She didn't tell you when?
Yeah.
Did she say where she was going?
No, she didn't mention anything at all, where she's going or where to.
Every lead the police follow brings them back to Angelica. She's the prime suspect, interviewed repeatedly. But she does not crack under the pressure.
We can't find her at all. We're suspecting that she may be dead.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
So, at this point of time, you are the only person that we have connected to her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When Angelica was being interrogated by the police, she seemed cool, calm, and collected.
For someone who's just been told that they're a suspect for murder, you're not overly surprised.
She never even offered an explanation of, or a defense, or a denial. I didn't do it. Let me go. You have no proof.
Unless there's anything you can come up with at all?
No.
No.
What I see is a woman who may be in shock that the police were onto her. Because Angelica believes she has committed the perfect crime.
Von A had been to the shops. Angelica climbed into the ceiling and waited for Von A. She used the statue to hit my friend over the head. Angelica pulled Von A down some steps to a back fruit tree and left her there. Angelica decided to go out for dinner while my friend was lying under a fruit tree in her backyard.
She returns the next day to dispose of the body in the most brutal way imaginable.
She dismembered my friend. She cut off her head, her hands, her legs.
When those body parts start turning up in a creek bed directly opposite Angelica's home, her days as a predator are numbered. I don't think anybody would commit murder if they knew for a fact they were not going to get away with it. I don't think Angelica ever thought she'd get caught.
Yeah. So obviously we're quite concerned about it.
Yeah.
She dispersed body parts all over town, and she thought she was going to get away with it.
You know who I am? You're under arrest for the murder of Vonnie McGlynn.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you have to come with us. Come around here. Come around a bit. Hand back in there.
In 2011, Angelica Guevari is found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to 32 years. Not all predators are killers, but all of them are calculating. They hide in plain sight, camouflaged by their ordinariness. But you can't see what's going on in their head. This makes them one of the more difficult, deadly types to spot. But one thing is for sure, wherever you find the vulnerable, you will find a predator.